Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
In Acts 4, verse 36, if you have the NIV, you're welcome to read aloud with me today. It says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Come on, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this moment that we have to get into your word. Lord, it's a lamp, Lord God, for our path. Lord God, a lamp for our feet. Lord God, guide us, lead us, Lord Jesus, today. Speak to us. Just lay your hand on your heart today. Pray that God will speak to you. Lord God, let us open our hearts to your word. Let us be good soil, Lord God, for the seed of your word, Lord God, to produce fruit in our lives. And we thank you for it. And we all said, amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to thank Pastor Karen. Thank you for your super kind words. And thank you, Pastor Karen and Pastor Daniel, for having me here this weekend. Do you love your pastors? Give them a big hand, would you? They're just super amazing men and women of God and just wonderful friends of ours. And we're just so thankful for them and their ministry. My wife sends her love. Pastor Melissa, she is in Nashville with our grandson. Actually, both of them are going to be there tomorrow, both of our grandsons. And she's being grandma. So anyway, she sends her love to all of you. And I'm just so glad I was able to be here today. This place is amazing. The last time I was here, it was not, I think they were just starting to install everything up here. And so much has happened since then. And it's amazing and beautiful to see. I'm trying not to be jealous of all the many, many, many lights and screens. And I'm going to repent at the end of the service. I'm just having fun with you, but it's just good to be here today with you guys. And you know what? I know we're doing a lot of clapping, but let's give the Lord a praise for this place. God, thank you for the miracle. Thank you for bringing it about, Lord God, after so many years. We give you praise and glory for it, Lord. We love the ministry here in Wasilla. It's hard to imagine, but over the years in KC, except for Oahu, where I also worked besides the cathedral, I've been to this extension more than any extension of Kings around the world, and it's hard to imagine, but it's an honor. Every time I see those snowy mountains, I'm just in awe, and you guys get to see it every day. Well, there's a kid in Peanuts comics that loves to play the piano. In fact, he's so talented and so gifted that he can somehow play Beethoven on a tiny little kid's piano. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody seen that? I asked the first service if they knew who that was, and they didn't know the name too well. Does anybody know what character played the piano? Schroeder, thank you. First service said Linus. You guys win, all right? You guys win Charlie Brown trivia today. And recently, we had a life-size version of that little piano on our stage because we do shows of different kinds, and we did a full Broadway show of called You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, recently. And Minister James Reynolds, if you know who he was Schroeder. So he was playing that little piano, and it was sitting on our stage for a long time. It shows Schroeder's gift. And today I want to talk about a man that we read about in the short scripture we read who had great gifts from God. In fact, if I said, who's your favorite top 10 New Testament people? I don't think he would probably even get mentioned, but he had a huge impact on the early church because he put his gifts into action. If we think about the text we are reading, it said his name was Joseph. He was from a little island nation called Cyprus, so he was Jewish. He was from the tribe of Levi, but he grew up in Greek culture and knew Greek and I'm sure had adopted some of those things. In Acts 11, we find out it says he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And the little two verses we read is the very first appearance of this man named Joseph in the New Testament. But it said they didn't really call him Joseph. They called him a nickname, Barnabas. Say it with me. What was it? Barnabas. It meant, literally, son of encouragement. That means when he would come into church in the lobby or wherever, it was like they would say, hey, there's Mr. Encouragement. And that became his name. The apostles referred to him as Son of Encouragement. And what did that really mean? It meant that he released courage to others. Amen? And in the book of Acts, we see him using that gift over and over and over. I want to talk about one huge way that he did this. I'm going to kind of give you a story if you'll stick with me. Anybody ever heard of Saul, who became Paul, became the Apostle Paul? Well, if you remember, when we first hear about Saul, he was persecuting Christians. He was dragging Christians into jail. He was approving of Christians being killed. In fact, when Stephen was stoned, he was standing there approving of the whole thing happening. And on his way to destroy some lives of Christians, he was on the road to Damascus. Jesus appeared to him in his glory, and he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And that day, Saul's life was changed. He repented, and he came to know the living God. Well, what happened after that is he actually stayed there in Damascus and even went into some other areas there of, everybody say hallelujah, of Arabia. Had to get my brain work in there. Amen. And he was just growing in the Lord for 3 years. Well, after 3 years, he goes up to Jerusalem, where everybody knew him as a persecutor of Christians. And Acts 9:26 says, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. No other Christian, no other believer in Jesus, not Peter, not Thomas, not John, no one else would even talk to him. They were all afraid of him. Maybe he's got some underground thing going on. He's been serving Jesus for 3 years, but they wouldn't have anything to do with him except for one man. It was Barnabas. It says Barnabas went. He heard his story. He brought Saul to the apostles. And because of that one man's encouragement and is the one man's ability, listen to this, to see what no one else could see. Because we all need somebody to see the good in us, amen, and the potential in us. And he saw the potential in Saul. And because of that, God brought Saul into relationship with the apostles and the believers in the church in Jerusalem, and he started preaching in Jerusalem because of Barnabas. Well, the Bible also tells us that some Jews then in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 9 were upset about that. And they were going to kill Saul slash Paul. So he escaped from Jerusalem and he went to Tarsus. That was his hometown, to get away, to hide out. And he started sharing the gospel there. But he was literally there for 10 years. And we know very little about his life during that time. Nobody was involving the Apostle Paul in ministry for 10 years. Well, then the church in Jerusalem needed someone to go check out the church in Antioch, and they asked, guess who to go? Drum roll, please. Barnabas. Say it with me. Who? Barnabas. So they sent Barnabas, and we'll talk about that a little more in a moment. So he gets there, and God's doing a great work in this city of Antioch. He's like, I need help. I need help discipling these Christians. Who can I get? Wait, where's Saul? Probably now called Paul, because that's the Greek version of his name. And so Barnabas goes searching for Paul. In fact, the Greek word in the verse says that he really had to search, like he had to look for him. It's in Acts 11. It says, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So Barnabas goes on the hunt. There was no Facebook. There was no Google. You couldn't find someone that easy. Like I said, the Greek word was that he really had to work at finding Saul after 10 years. And so he brings him to Antioch. And for a whole year, they disciple the believers there, and they pour into it, and they're having like a revival there in Antioch. And once again, God is using the Apostle Paul because of a man named Barnabas. What was out of that church in Antioch in Acts 13, that then the Holy Spirit spoke, set apart for me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work that I've called them to. And out of that church, those two then went out on like the first missionary journey, and they reached the non-Jewish world. They went to Greece, Cyprus, Macedonia, Italy, even Spain. And they began to touch the world, and it's so interesting that it was because a dude named Barnabas stepped out in faith. In fact, one commentator says he helped guide Paul from being a novice follower of Christ to the most effective propagator of the faith of the early church. And it's very interesting because Barnabas even encouraged Paul by stepping back when the time was right. You see, as you read the book of Acts, they were called Barnabas and Paul, as if Barnabas was the lead dude and Paul was the assistant. But the more you work your way through the book of Acts, now they're being referred to as Paul and Barnabas. And you see that he was willing to even step back from the lead role and take second billing, if you were. Not everybody can do that. And he pulled back in humility. And so you see Barnabas continually using that gift of encouragement. Secondly, in the text, we saw him use his gift of giving. It says he sold a piece of property and publicly came and laid it at the apostles' feet. That means he gave it to the church. How many of you know there's a gift of giving? It's a gift of the Holy Spirit that he gives. Some of you may operate in that gift. It was a public act. Everybody knew it. It's so public, it's in the Bible, and we all know about it 2,000 years later. Our own senior pastor did that about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't know if you saw the video where a dream came true for Pastor Morocco, and he gave a check for $1 million to the church. That's huge. Huge. Why did he do it like that? He was being a Barnabas, encouraging all of us to grow in our gift of giving and encouraging us that God can make the wildest things come to pass if we only believe and put our faith into it. Well, that's what Barnabas was doing. You say, how do we know he was doing that? The next chapter, Ananias and Sapphira had been encouraged by what he did, and they tried to do the same, only they didn't have the same integrity. And they didn't have the same heart. How many of you know integrity is important? It's everything. So he had a gift of giving. As you read on through the book of Acts, we find out he had a gift of leadership. How many of you know the gift of leadership is a gift of the Holy Spirit? Man, we pray every day at early morning prayer, give our pastors the gift of faith, the gift of leadership, our ministers. I believe your pastor has a good gift of leadership on his life. Amen? He does. He truly does. It's so awesome to witness and see. But Acts 11 says news of this, it's talking about the revival in Antioch, reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw what the grace of God had done. He was glad, and here's this word, encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. As I mentioned, he was sent there to find out what was going on. He was sent as an envoy, as a representative of the church of Jerusalem. He may have not even thought of himself as a leader. We don't have any record that he ever preached. We don't have any record that he was one of the major apostles laying hands on people. Just suddenly out of the blue, God starts using his gifts. And they're like, hey, we trust you. How many of you know trust is important when you're releasing leaders? It is. And they released him to go there and represent the ministry. And God used him to influence people. Gift of leadership. Fourth is this. He had a gift of mercy, even at his own detriment. You see, he and Paul from that church in Antioch, like I said, they got sent on their first missionary journey. And the first place they decided to go was Cyprus. That was Barnabas' home island, like an island nation. And he said, you know what? I want to take my cousin Mark with us. Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark. I want to take him with us. Mark was a young guy. Mark had grown up around the ministry of Jesus. His mom was involved in Jesus' ministry. Some think that their house was where the upper room was, perhaps where the Last Supper took place. When Peter was in prison and the church was praying, they were at their house. His mom's name was Mary, not Mary the mother of Jesus, yet another Mary, all right? Not Mary Magdalene, yet another Mary, all right? The many Marys, all right? And so Mark had grown up around that. So everybody knew Mark that had a connection with Jesus. And Barnabas is like, man, let's take my cousin with us. And so they get to the first stop on their missionary journey in Cyprus. And Mark's like, whoa, this is way too much for me. I'm out. And he deserted the mission trip. He deserted the ministry of Paul and Barnabas. Well, Paul and Barnabas went on their missionary trip. You know, this is me doing the map in your Bible. You know what I mean? That little thing, you know. And they came home, and they were there for a while. They ministered back home, Antioch, Jerusalem. And in Acts 15, 36, it says, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. Barnabas gave up working with the greatest ministry that was happening in the kingdom of God at that moment. He gave up working with the apostle Paul, who was having the greatest effect, all to express a gift of mercy to help his cousin Mark, to be the big brother, to be the uncle. Paul said, I'm not taking Mark, he's out. And Barnabas' response was, then I'm out. To his own loss, he had mercy on his cousin and reached out to try to help disciple him. But you know what you see as you go on through the New Testament? Paul's in prison in Rome the first time. He's writing those prison letters like Philippians and Colossians. And he says in Colossians 4:10, my fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greeting, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. After all these years, Barnabas was used to encourage Mark, get him back on track, and now he's valuable, and he's there with Paul in Rome. You even see later on in 2 Timothy 4, when Paul's in prison again, and this is like the end of his life, he said, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Mark became useful to the kingdom of God and to the apostle Paul because of the son of encouragement, Barnabas. Sometimes we have presupposed ideas in our head of the kind of people that God uses, the kind of people we might see on a platform like this, or the way God uses them, or the kind of talent God uses. But let me tell you today that God has gifted each of you and made you unique, because he is a unique God. Amen. God isn't boring. He keeps things interesting. He made you interesting. Look at the person next to you. Say, you're pretty interesting, you know? You're pretty interesting. Why is that? Because he has a unique and interesting plan for your life. Think about it. This guy, Barnabas, he really had no great talent that we know about, what we think of as talent. But he did have the ability to see potential in people. He had a willingness. You need me to go to Antioch? Sure, I guess I'll go. I'll help. He had humility. You need me to step away so you can flow in the gifts that God's given you? Come on, that takes some humility. He had that going for him. He had the gift to be able to help. Sometimes the gift of helps is a gift of the Spirit. Sometimes it's those people you don't see that are helping in the background that really make things happen. I mean, it's a gift from the Lord. And he just had a heart to encourage people. In all the things that I shared that he did throughout the New Testament, there's like a thread of encouragement in all of it, because that's how the Lord used him. And if you'll think about this for just a minute, could say he wasn't a Peter. He wasn't a Paul. He wasn't the Apostle John. But you know what? At that moment, God didn't need another one of those. He needed a Barnabas. And God has you on this earth at this moment. He's allowed you breath today. He's put giftings inside of you. He's connected you to this ministry, this great ministry and this church, because he wants to use you like a Barnabas. He wants you to use you to bless and encourage. And listen, I get it. He's not a New Testament all-star, this Barnabas. But the work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church would not have progressed as it did without a man like Barnabas. And think about this for a minute. 15 books of the New Testament were written by the two men that he mentored, Mark and Paul. 15 books of our Bible. What if he hadn't been that encouragement to them? I had people in my life throughout my ministry that have encouraged me, and I'm sure every pastor and minister could tell some kind of similar story. I was kind of like that kid Schroeder at the little piano. I started taking piano lessons when I was 7 years old. And there was a lady that was teaching me. Her name was Phyllis Gober. And when I was 8 years old, she said, "I want you to start writing songs. Write me a song this week about your dog. The next week, write me a song this week about a circus." My mom was like, "Who makes an 8-year-old write music? You know, seems like a little bit too much pressure." And years later, she said, "I felt like God told me," she was a wonderful Baptist woman. She said, "I felt like the Holy Spirit told me to make you start doing that at a young age." She was a Barnabas in my life. When I was 17 years old, I went to a little tiny church in Oklahoma, a little tiny town, grew up out in the country on a little farm. And I asked my home church, "Hey, could I direct a musical for our youth choir?" I was 17. I don't know what they were thinking. They let me do it. That leadership was letting me grow and learn at age 17. They were a Barnabas to me. I ended up going to music school, to Bible school, and I tried out for all these traveling music groups. I was a music major, even a piano major performance when I first started, and I didn't make any of those groups. And my freshman year, man, I was so destroyed, and in my sophomore year, I did get in the group that I really wanted to get in. They traveled all over the nation, and the director was a man named Nate Carter, and he said, "Did you write this certain song that we had been playing on campus?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Do that in this group. In fact, start arranging and writing songs for this group." And he released me to do that. And I had no idea what I was doing. I was like an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, a young man. Sometimes you need to be able to fail. Sometimes you need to be able to skin your knees to learn how to ride a bike, right? And he let me do that. He was a Barnabas in my life. When I was 20, I got invited to go to First Assembly of God Honolulu as an intern. And I was there throughout the summer, and there was a marvelous lady there named Janet Kusuhara, fantastic music director. And I was, you know, a musician. When you're 20, you think you know everything, right? Isn't that right? Don't deny it. All right. And I wanted to do this with music, this with music, this with music. I had all this figured out. And she's like, "Hold on, kid, you know. The first use of music is to give glory to God and to worship God above everything else." And she helped direct my thoughts about ministry and worship. And then 2 years later, when I was 22, my wife and I had been married for 9 months. I get a call one day from someone named Pastor James Morocco. And he said, "Why don't you come out here to Maui?" We flew there the day after college graduation, never dreamed that somehow we would be a part of what is now Kings for 35 years. Hello, that's a long time. And Pastor Morocco pushed me to lead worship. I didn't even want to be a worship leader. I told him, "I don't do that. I'll do your choir, I'll do the orchestra." He's like, "Okay." Then 3 months, into working there in staff meeting here. He's like, hey, I need you to lead worship this week. I go, I don't do that. We talked about this, remember? He's like, yeah, but we don't have anybody else, so you're on. He goes, if you get in trouble, I'll take the mic and take over. And at that time, we were in the skating rink. We have skating on Friday and Saturday nights. Then we would tear down the skating rink sound system and set up the church sound system. Yes, that's what I did. While you heard the rats running through the ceiling, galloping through the ceiling down by the harbor. Yeah. It was fun stuff in those days. And so I got up to lead worship for my first time, got through the first song, and Pastor Morocco grabbed the mic. Hallelujah. That's how awesome it was. I didn't see myself as a worship leader or as a pastor, but he pushed me. And I tell you all of this to say, all of those people were Barnabases in my own life. God knew at 8 years old that he wanted me to be writing songs. So he spoke to a piano teacher. And all of them pushed me. Sometimes encouragement is somebody just pushing you in the direction where God wants to use you. Even when you don't want to be pushed, you're like kicking and screaming. But you take the opportunity. And with all glory to Almighty God and only by His grace, we ended up being worship leaders and music directors for 21 years there at the cathedral. We pastored for whatever it is, 14 more years, traveled all over the world producing shows. I think God has allowed me to write 10 full-scale musicals, some of which have been translated into other languages. We ended up recording 11 or 12 albums over those years, and God has allowed that to even go into the next generation. In fact, the first song you sang tonight in worship, my eldest son helped write and produce that song. And God has done amazing. In fact, I'm here this weekend to help with Birthday of a King, a show that God gave me 24 years ago that somehow has been performed every year for 24 years. That's crazy. And listen, that none of that's being said to say, oh, look at me, like I'm something. I'm nobody famous, nothing like that. But God knew what he wanted in my life and my wife's life, and he put those Barnabases in place. You could be one of those people to somebody. You could be a Barnabas. I'll tell one more story before I close. Around 1997, we were there at the cathedral. I was producing shows, and I met a young man. He had just come back to the Lord. His name was Palani. And I said, hey, I mean, I'm looking for disciples. I'm looking for soldiers. I'm looking for Pharisees. I'm looking for any guy that I can get on that stage. I'm like, hey, would you want to be in our Easter show? And he's like, oh, what? I'm like, would you want to be on the stage in an Easter show acting? He's like, huh? No. He's like, I'm too shy for that. I go, well, it's a small part. You just hang out with the disciples. And you don't have to say anything. Just sing along. You don't even have a microphone on. He's like, oh, okay. And then about a month into it, he's like, I thought you said it was a small part. He's like, I never leave the stage. I'm like, you're a disciple. It's about Jesus and the disciples. At least you don't have a mic, you know? But because he said yes to that and got connected right there, suddenly that young man in his early 20s jumped into every opportunity he could to be used by God. He was in choir, he was in worship team, he was in dance team, he was in young adult hip-hop team, he was in hula, he went on missions trips with us to Russia and Japan and the, what you guys, lower 48, right? He even came here with me and a team to Wasilla in 1999 to do an outreach. And during those years, he started wanting to disciple people. And so he took the opportunity to lead a life group. And he had a lot of young adults that would come to that life group, and he influenced them for many years. He had a gift of encouragement. He became big brother, uncle, mentor to a lot of young people, including my two sons and even Minister Ryland right here sitting on the front row. He started leading a dance ministry that was successful, and then God opened opportunities for him to influence dance ministries all over the state of Hawaii and then to begin to influence others in other states in the U.S. About 4 or 5 years ago, he became the title of minister, a minister of dance. God had used him so powerfully, and he began to touch lives, and he did it all without being in full-time ministry. In fact, he didn't really feel called to full-time ministry. I hired him for a little while, and then he was like, I don't want to do this. I feel like I should work outside the church and just volunteer. So he worked for hotels. He worked for a rubbish company, Waste Pro. He worked wherever God allowed him to. He was good at whatever he did, but he was always used for the kingdom of God. All because he was just willing to use that gift like a Barnabas over and over and over. Sadly, about 2 weeks ago, I had to fly back to Maui. Forgive me if I get a little teary. Because at age 48, he was found laying face down at his home, unconscious. They kept him on life support for about a week, but he never really came out of that state. He had had a stroke, and that young man went to be with the Lord. I went to the service, and hundreds of people came. Hundreds of people came. A lot of them, young adults that were young adults when he was a young adult, now in their late 30s, 40s, because he had impacted their life. Dancers flew in from all over the state of Hawaii because he had impacted their lives. Even from here, some flew to be a part of that because he had had such a great impact. Church, the reality is that we're all going to come to that moment if Jesus tarries. When our lives end, and none of us know when that will truly happen. And the question is, what will we do with the time that we have? Will we use the giftings that God has given us, no matter how unlike someone else they might be? No matter how we think they might not be that valuable? Will we put them to work for the kingdom of God? Because one day, guys, no matter what, we all will stand before God to give an account for our lives and the time we've had on this earth. And I just want to encourage you this morning, and I feel like the Lord wants to encourage you in this house. Be a Palani. Be a Barnabas. Be like those who helped me in my life and put to work that which God has given you today. Who says in this place, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. I want to use what God's given me. Lift your hand high. Don't be ashamed. Would you stand up all across this room then, because I want to pray for you. Lift both hands to the Lord, if you would. And let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the lives of a man like Barnabas, an unsung hero, who you used to propel certain men, Lord God, to impact your kingdom, to move the church forward. And Lord, I pray for these standing in this room right now with hands lifted, that there would be an increase, grace and anointing and power and open doors and the gift of faith released to use what you have given them for your glory and for your kingdom. Perhaps to even see that increase, or if they're not at all right now, that they would begin to connect with someone here in this ministry and say, how can I be used to further the kingdom of God? And may there be an increased, fresh anointing upon them to see that happen. And I thank you for it. You know, would you just take a moment and pray yourself, pray for yourself, ask the Lord to use you right now. Just express a prayer to the Lord. Say, God, use this gifting I have. Use this talent I have. Use me to be a blessing. Use me to be a Barnabas to someone else that I can affect. Hallelujah. Would you continue to keep your heads bowed today? Maybe you're standing in this room today or you're online with us. And maybe you don't have relationship with the living God. You don't know Jesus. You don't know that your sins are forgiven, that Jesus came and gave his life on the cross to save you, rescue you. And like I mentioned, none of us know the time that we have before we slip into eternity like the young man I shared about. But if that's you today, I would like to lead you in a prayer to know the living God today. and to know that you're right before him. So if that's you, with heads bowed, would you just lift your hand with me all across the room? Hands high, hands high. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to invite everyone to pray with me today. Say, Jesus, thank you for what you did for me when you gave your life on the cross. Forgive me of my sin. Draw me close to you. I want to know you, God, in a true, real, personal way. In your name, amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.